coming to take his church out. It was it's us just evolving into that perfection and becoming immortal by virtue of becoming sinless to the point of we're just like Jesus. And that ministry had the revelation that would bring you into that reality. That's how that's going to work. And it was a terrible twisting and misuse of Scripture. But it had a following. Amen. People seem to follow something if they say, you know, my gospel is better than your gospel. Well, the Scripture said there is no prophecy of the Scripture that is of any private interpretation. So I'd like to feel like what I'm going to preach this morning, that D.L. Moody's touched on some of these things, that George Whitefield has touched on some of these things, that the Apostle Paul has touched on some of these things, and that Jesus Christ has taught some of these things. It's a good way to find out if you're walking in truth, because we don't need a new and improved and different gospel. Amen. In fact, the Bible said there's no other gospel, and that was written to the first century church. No other gospel can be preached but that has been preached. Amen. So if you found something new and better and new and improved, you better check it out real close with the original. Because the Bible said there's nothing new under the sun. Amen. Thank you for the hearty amens. Amen. There's no gospel that can be preached but that has been preached. Amen. And the foundation for all preaching and teaching is the apostles, the prophets, and Christ himself becoming the chief cornerstone of all of it. Amen. So I like to hear the gospel preached in its original form, as it is written in Scripture. Not embellished, not changed, not given a new spin or a new twist. And we're in a political atmosphere right now, and there are people who are the spokesmen for the political pundits out there. And you know what they say? They are the people who are running also in politics, and they call them spin doctors. You know why they call them spin doctors? Because they're going to take everything that's said and put their own personal spin on it. Amen. And there are ministries today that are spin doctors, because they're putting their spin on the original gospel, but it is not in the context of the original. It won't fit. Amen. You can't make Jesus somebody with worldly values. You can't make him wanting to achieve greatness among men. You can't put him in the Conrad Hilton. Amen. Eating prime rib. You can't put him there. He won't live there. He came to contradict what man said was so important, and he lived his life in a contradiction to it. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? Born in the least of the saints. I mean, you don't ride donkeys into town. You ride white horses. Amen? And yet Jesus became the lowly Nazarene, and he demonstrated to us, amen, that the pride of man is something God resists and rejects. And he showed us, amen, how to walk in humility before God. He showed us a value system that was not of this world. Can you say amen? For a man's life does not consist, he taught, and lived that same reality and that same verse of Scripture. He lived it out. He fleshed it out. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses. And then on the other hand, he said, but God's going to take care of your daily needs. He's going to make sure that you are cared for, because he's your heavenly Father. You can expect that from him, but don't go after that. Amen. Seek his kingdom, his righteousness. He'll take care of all the rest. Amen. Hallelujah. I got up this morning very grateful in my heart for what the Lord has given me. Hallelujah. And I don't have to have that $1 million, by the way, to be happy. Praise the Lord. I was just pleased that someone thought of me. There are people right here that have said to me, if I win the Reader's Digest sweepstakes, I'll build us a church out there. And I said, well, I hope you win it. Praise God. That'll be fine. But you know, if God wants something built, whether we win something or not, he'll help us build it when the time comes. We don't need it right now at this point in time, because what would we do? Amen, with all that space. Anyway, God knows that God's timing is perfect. Everybody say, God's timing is perfect. Say this with me. May not be there when you want him, but he's always right on time. Thank the Lord. Amen. Well, that's scriptural. I'm not being facetious this morning. Amen. He that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. That means in his timing, nothing's going to hold him back. Praise God. He won't delay when it's time. He will delay until it's time. And during the delay, we need a lot of patience. And I'm tribulating, so I'm developing in patience today. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Because tribulation worketh patience. Praise God. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for the generosity of your people. We thank you, Lord, for the sweetness that we have felt from people who love you and love each other and love us. Father, that's the grandest thing that I have received in all of these years of ministry. Lord, in terms of what makes me feel rich this morning is your wonderful grace and mercy and the love that has been shown us from people who care so deeply. And Father, we just bless you and we pray your blessing upon them today. Lord, that you will increase us according to our hearts, Lord, and according to our values. And we put your kingdom first. And Father, we pray you will care for everyone in this congregation in the name of Jesus, that you will make a way where there seems to be no way. Father, that you will part the seas again when necessary, that you will multiply the fish and the loaves again. Hallelujah. Praise God. Whatever it takes, Lord, that you will address the needs of your people according to your commitment and covenant, because we honor you today in the name of Jesus. Everyone that will agree with that said amen and amen. Hallelujah. We're receiving an offering and it can be a blessing to you. When you honor my house, you honor me. When you honor my word, you honor me. When you honor my leadership, you honor me. Yea, when you honor me, I will bless thee with a blessing, Lord. When you honor me, I will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough for you to contain it. When you honor your God, I will honor your prayers and your life, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody give him praise in this place. Hallelujah. You honor your God. Hallelujah. Thank you for honoring him in all that you do today. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Romans 13, 11 through 13. Listen to this. And that knowing the time. I could stop on that particular statement and preach an entire sermon today. Because everyone in here is well aware that we're living in the last of the last days. We really don't have to convince anybody in this room that we're living. How many are convinced that we are living in the last of the last days? Let me see your hand. Amen. There's no doubt about that in your mind whatsoever this morning. If you can read your Bible, you don't have to be a Bible scholar. You don't have to have some of these wonderful tapes from prophecy teachers. Amen. You don't have to do that to understand we're in the last days. All you have to do is just read a few very plain, clear portions of scriptures, and it will indicate. And then all you have to do is read the Sunday paper. And all you have to do is turn on your television and listen to the news broadcast. It will line up exactly with the conditions that are talked about that designate the last time. All you have to do also is turn on your television and start listening to what a lot of the very influential ministers are saying today. And you will find out that the spiritual condition that it said would be taking place in the last day is being met just like it said. Amen. We're getting ready to see a blurring of the line that separated, amen, historic Christianity from other world religions. We're coming into an age of tolerance when we're going to see those lines not only blurred, we're going to see them absolutely removed. We are seeing the emerging and the forming of a world church as we sit here today. And it's going to sound good to every ear but the ear of those who know Christ is the only way to God. You cannot give in the name of tolerance on that supreme issue. Today is the Jewish Passover celebration on the calendar. If you looked at your calendar for a date, it will say Passover. It's the Jewish Passover that is being celebrated today. The Bible said Christ is our Passover, who was sacrificed for us. Amen. The reason Jesus is the only way to God is because it took blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no sacrifice from sin. And that blood had to come from a lamb that was without blemish. And no man on the earth fit that pattern but Jesus Christ. He was the only sinless man that qualified to give that kind of sin offering before Almighty God. Can you say amen? So that's why he claims what he claims to be the only way to God. Amen. This is not narrow-minded, bigoted religious thinking. This is the simple truth that God will honor a blood sacrifice when it comes from a holy source, and Jesus is the only man that could offer that holy blood. Can you say amen? So you can't blend Christianity with any of the world religions. We can't move into polytheism either, amen, where there is many gods, amen. And you can't move the other direction where there's one God but many avenues to him, amen. There's one God, that is true. The Bible teaches, and one mediator between God and man, the man, Jesus Christ. One God, one mediator between God and man, the Lord Jesus Christ. It was his blood that was shed upon the cross. That's why the early Christians died the deaths they died as martyrs, is because they would not give on that issue. And we dare not sell out Jesus Christ, and we dare not sell out all of those who died and shed their blood to give us a pure faith in the name of tolerance. Amen. This is a blood bought and a blood brought gospel. Can you say amen? You're hearing a gospel today in its pure, unadulterated form, because men and women died for this faith so you could hear truth this morning. That's why I'm not the kind of holy roller that has a holy thought on Sunday morning and rolls over. They have a disease I call morbus sabbaticus. You know what morbus sabbaticus is? Morbus sabbaticus is this sudden lethargy and laziness that sits in on Sunday morning. It's not there on Saturday when we get on our ski-doos and go do skis and whatever. You know, it's not there when we go fishing. It's not there when we're yard sailing early Saturday morning. Suddenly people are energized to get the good stuff before the dealers get it all. Can you say amen? If you're going yard sailing, don't wait till 2 in the afternoon. Get there like Margaret used to do in our audience. Amen. She used to get there at 6:30 in the morning and wake people up. If it said garage sale and all listed some stuff, she could knock on the door in the wee hours to get them up. Hey, I'm ready. What you got to sell? I'm here to buy. Amen. She was highly motivated, amen, on Saturday morning to go to the yard sale. But morbus sabbaticus hits Christians on a Sunday morning. Amen. Morbus sabbaticus, it means I really feel bad from the hours of, say, 8 in the morning until about 10:30. But after church is over, suddenly, woo! I feel like doing something. It's a disease that lifts about 10:30. Amen. And from 10:30 until 5 o'clock, amen, you have all of this energy to go to the mall, to go out to the restaurant and eat, and to do all these things we want to do. Amen. Go to a movie, whatever. Amen. But about 5 o'clock, guess what? We have a relapse. Amen. It comes back on. Amen. And we're smiling about this. Amen. Because I'm trying to disarm you for what's coming. Amen. Amen. By using a little bit of humor this morning. But I'm going to tell you something. Amen. We have a gospel today, not by that kind of Christian attitude. We have a gospel today that is intact because men and women loved not their life unto the death. Mike is wearing a shirt. I brought him a movie so I know what the shirt's all about. Can you say, man, that says give what you can't keep and gain what you can't lose? And it's about people who literally laid down their life, amen, for the gospel of Jesus Christ so that others may know him. Amen. That's the kind of attitude. You don't have to be called to some mission field today. Amen. To have that attitude and to have that atmosphere in the church. In fact, we all have to lay down our life if we're going to live his life. Amen. 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 Deny yourself means to count yourself as dead. To mortify your members upon the earth means to put to death the old self-life in order to live the new life in Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean you're going to just be some religious drone that just, you know, just walks along with it. No, you're not going to be that. You're going to find that if, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abideth alone. But if it falls to the ground and dies, it brings forth much fruit. The fruitful life is a result of denying the old man and walking in the newness that God has called you to. Can you say amen? Following Jesus is not a drone life. Amen. It is a dramatic change life. Praise God. Hallelujah. Filled with grace and filled with glory. You'll never find a missionary that's, I've just sacrificed everything for Jesus. I have nothing, nothing. I am poor and pitiful. No, no, they're not. They're rich in faith, rich in love, rich in vision. They have boundless energy because they're fulfilling a God-called purpose. And it's highly motivating to fulfill a God-called purpose. Can you say amen? Amen? Hallelujah. If you just live for yourself, after a while, you're going to get tired of yourself. I'm serious. Everybody that's ever done it has. Amen. People out in Hollywood live for themselves, and then they get sick of themselves. And then they get into alcohol and drugs and everything. You don't need that if you got what you're supposed to have in life. Anyway, moving right along. Jesus said, I have meat that you know not of. Amen. They wonder, where does energy come from? He's physical. He's human. He's tired. He said, I'm so weary. Let me rest in the shade of Jacob's well. You go into the town and buy us something to eat. He was getting that drop that anyone in one of these bodies can get. Has anybody ever got that drop? Amen. We talked about Sugar High Ministries last week. Eating a candy bar for breakfast. That'll lift you up emotionally. Amen. But drop you spiritually when the trouble comes and the tests come. Amen. But it looks like revival. I mean, just look at all of these Sugar High people. Amen. But it will drop you. You know what you need in the morning? You need something more than sugar. You don't need Cocoa Puffs for breakfast. Let's put it that way. If you want to make it to lunch without a drop. Amen. Amen. Cocoa, yeah, you need some protein. Amen. Sean says, get your oink on. Get you some bacon and eggs and grits. Anyway, God is good. Amen. And He wants us to get something more than the superficial. And knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. It says, be done with the things of the world, the attitudes of the world, the values of the world. Get rid of jealousy and envy and strife. We don't have time for that. Knowing the time. We just don't have time to argue about the color of the carpet or the price of the choir robes. We don't have time to haggle over whether or not we're going to get the color that we want in a choir robe. There's almost church splits over choir robes. Oh, I've heard of it. People can divide over just about anything. I was at a pastor's meeting. We were praying for the city of Tampa. We wanted to involve our churches in that prayer thing. And we were sitting around the table, me and Dale Brooks and several other pastors in the city years ago. We were sitting around a table having this breakfast. And we decided we could have a prayer breakfast and invite all our congregations to come. And everybody's sitting there and said, we're going to figure this out. And we said, what kind of breakfast do we want? Okay, do we want a continental breakfast so everybody can afford it, about $5 and they give you some kind of a roll and coffee and juice? Or do we want the whole grand slam breakfast where you get bacon and eggs and grits and stuff like that and probably cost you about $8.95 with the room or $9 back then or whatever, And everybody said, there'll be a lot of people won't come because they can't afford it. If we get the continental, there'll be people come and say, I didn't get full. Amen. And then after a while, all the pastors know how this can happen. And they say, something? It won't work. We'll never be able to satisfy. See, the whole point of praying for the city was lost in the menu and the haggling over the menu. And who's not going to be satisfied when they get here with the menu? Wouldn't it be something if we could actually get Christians together to fast and pray for a city? But the hook to get Christians was the breakfast. So we got prayer breakfast. There's nothing wrong with a prayer breakfast. As long as people are more concerned about what we're praying about than what we're going to put in our bellies. Amen. Amen. Amen? The Bible spoke of people whose belly had literally become their God. In other words, fleshly desires, fleshly instincts, fleshly lust drove their life. Their whole value system was shaped around self-indulgence And that's what we're talking about, wantonness. The Bible said, Jesus taught, beware, lest your heart as a Christian be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, that that day come upon you as a thief. Amen? In other words, that you be caught unprepared for that day as the world is unprepared for that day, because your values and the life you live is so in line with their values and the life they live. You can become self-indulgent as a Christian. Amen. And forget that to follow Christ, to follow, not go to church, but to follow Christ, the first prerequisite for being a disciple of Jesus Christ is denying yourself. Does that mean you're going to end up deprived of something? No, that means God is going to give you something that the world can't give. Jesus said, I have meat that you know not of, because I have a holy purpose to fulfill, and I find the greatest satisfaction and the greatest purpose, greatest energy, amen, in fulfilling that will. I have meat that you know not of, because my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me. Can you say amen? Amen. There's joy in serving Jesus. There's a job in just going to church. Hello? Amen. I would rather ministry be a joy than a job. I don't see it as a joy. Jesus said, this meat energizes me. Can you say amen? It doesn't deplete me. It actually energizes me. Praise God. Amen? I would love to see the Church of Jesus Christ energized. By denying ourselves, taking up our cross, and following Him. And that will lead you to Christian service. We got too many people that don't even know how to follow Him, wanting to go out and do something for Him. Before you try to do anything for Him, He wants you to follow Him. It's not what you do that is the primary reason the Holy Spirit is given. It's what you become. It's power to be. It's power to be, not power to do initially. It starts out with God wants you to be. And you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is coming. You will do this for me and you will do that for me. You will have these gifts to do this for me and you will go and do that for me. You'll have a powerful ministry and do that for me. You'll have an anointing, amen, to do this and do that for me. And so Christians get their to-do list for God out and get filled with the Spirit and off they go to do it. Can you say amen? The problem is it's not initially given to give you power to do, but power to be. Can you say amen? And you will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you and you shall do? No, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you and you shall be witnesses unto me. Amen. Witnesses unto Him is not what you do, it's what you are. Can you say amen? And that involves the work of the Spirit within our character and within our life. Hallelujah. If I'm going to be a witness unto Jesus, it's not just laying hands on people, it's following Him with my life. So that His life begins to be lived through me. That's why the Spirit was given. And when we quit trying to be what He's called us to be, no matter what we do, the world won't see Him. And they need to see Him. If someone has a healing ministry, they need to see Him in them. Not just their anointing and their avarice. Their anointing and their greed. Their anointing and their worldly values. They need to see Him in them. Can you say amen? God wants me to be something more than He wants me to do something for Him. When the Holy Spirit ceases to be the power to be, the church languishes. We speak in tongues and we criticize and cut. And the world looks at us and says, that's not like Him. We dance and shout, gripe and complain. And they say, that can't be Him. You're not showing me Him. The world can do that. Believe me, the line dancing world on Saturday night is energized on the dance floor. Come on, they can cut a rug. And it's not just the line dancers either. There's other dances out there. And they can cut a rug too. So if you cut a rug on Sunday, amen, they do it on Saturday. Big hairy deal. Can you say, man, it's not what you do in here under the unction of the Spirit. It's what you do when you walk through that door and walk into their public life, your private life. Amen. People on your job know you better than I know you. People on my job know me better than you know me. Because they see me at the unguarded moment. They see me without my suit on. They see me when I'm under pressure. I want them to see Christ when I'm under pressure. I want them to see Jesus. I'm not perfected in this, but I want them to see my honesty, my sincerity. I want them to know that I am a follower of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Yeah. Spiritual awakening is when you awake to the fact that God wants you to become more than you are in character. And we repent of our failures and we say, Lord, I want you to change me from the inside out. I want that work you promised to be ongoing, and I submit to you anew and afresh for it to continue in my life. He that's begun a good work in you is going to bring you to a place where you can just sit in the pew and listen to the sermon. No, he's going to perfect it unto the day of Jesus Christ. That's progressive perfecting. It's an ongoing thing. Hallelujah. I get excited when I hear the Word of God preached, or even when I preach it or read it, because I know if I'm submitted and willing for that purpose to be realized in me, it's going to change me. Amen. As we behold as in a glass, this week's radio broadcast, His face, we are changed into His image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. Holy Spirit was given primarily so you could be like Him, yeah. Not just do things for Him. That's secondary. And when we put the secondary in the primary, we have people who are not at all letting God shape their character, but they're moving in His gifts. They draw great attention to themselves. Sometimes they're not even developed in the love of God. Amen? Amen? And what is tongues without love? Nothing. Nothing. What is faith to move mountains without love? Nothing. See, all these people wanted the power to do with. Paul said the primary work of the power of God in your life is to be. Amen. And you shall be witnesses unto me in Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. Missionaries who laid down their life for the gospel became witnesses unto Christ. They said, God loves you enough to die for you, and we love you enough to lay down our life that you might know Him. That's why the gospel went into all the world. Men and women continue to lay down their life. Had they not, amen, the people wouldn't have believed the authenticity of the gospel. What paved the way for world missions is the blood of the martyrs. No if, and, but, or maybe. Not modern-day psychological approaches to the gospel, amen, or some pseudo-gospel preaching. It was people who loved not their life unto the death that paved the way for the gospel to go into the world. Amen? Amen? You should read the history. Read Fox's Book of Martyrs sometime and find out what people did and suffered just so others could know Christ. And look at the modern-day church that is being taught by example and doctrine, self-indulgence. We think it puts us out if it takes too much of our time. The only way finances are given is in the promise of many times over return. In other words, if I can't indulge myself through this seeming sacrifice, if there's not a something that I can indulge in, immediate gratification for what I'm doing. Missionaries, if they had got the immediate, if they looked for the immediate, they would have never laid down their life. Some of them will never see in this world the fruit of their labors and lives. Amen? But on their blood, sacrifices, the gospel went. If there's a road open to the gospel anywhere in the world, it's paved with the blood of the people who initiated the opening of that road for the gospel. There's a revival in China, but men and women died and suffered and were persecuted so that gospel could come to China. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? We're hearing the gospel today that men and women died in the Roman arena many years ago. Amen. To stand true to the faith so the gospel didn't die out with them. Amen. But it propagated. It went forward. Amen. It said that some of the people that sat in the Colosseum watching the spectacle of all the ways that Christian families were killed. Christian families, not just the men, but the women and the children. Amen. How they died in that Roman arena. Many of those people that sat up in the arena saw their faith and saw the peace and the grace that God gave them to die for the name of Jesus with. And they became themselves Christians. And ended up in the arena themselves. And the Bible said in this, you need to read the rest of Hebrews 11. There's more to Hebrews 11 than just getting victories. There's a victory of the life that is laid down for Jesus. And it speaks of those people that I'm talking to you about. And said others did not accept deliverance. Because they wanted a greater reward than the temporary release from their pain. Some wandered about in skins of animals. Some lived in caves because of persecution that they might receive a greater reward, of whom the world was not worthy. Can you say amen? Oh, give them and him a praise offering today. And we rarely ever hear of them. If you listen closely to some ministries, you're going to rarely hear of him. You're going to hear biblical principles to get your felt need met, to get immediate gratification. Your Father knows what you have need of, and he's going to start with your spirit. Every single time you prosper as your soul prospers. When your soul prospers, it don't take much to make you happy. You didn't hear me. No, you didn't hear me. You did, some of you, but the world, the church world out there is not listening to that. They think we got to have what Bill Gates have to be happy. They actually believe that if we had what they had, we would be happy. When I came to Christ, and everybody else has ever come to Christ until this self-indulgent generation, nobody believed that. We used to sing, "Take this old world and give me Jesus, I won't turn back." That is not taking a vow of poverty in order to be righteous. It's just saying, I will not compromise the faith. Amen. I'll not sell, amen, any of this riches I have in Christ for anything the world has to offer. Because nobody, and this is a song I love, nobody do me like Jesus. The peace, the joy, the eternal life, the fulfilling of a holy purpose while we're down here, and heaven when we get there. Can't nobody, can't no thing do me like Jesus. We used to sing about this old time religion and said, it will do when I'm a dying. Can you say amen? Honey, I'm glad I got a hold of something that will do when I'm a dying. Can you say amen? You can't buy that with the riches of this world. So the blood of Jesus and the blood of all the martyrs who died, most of the disciples were killed for their testimony. That's why Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you don't hate your own life, forget it. Now we're saying, following him is going to fulfill every felt need you have, gratify you, just give you, you're going to be right up there with Bill Gates if you follow Christ. Jesus says, no, that's not what's going to happen. Amen. There was a church in the book of Revelation. Jesus said, write them a letter, John. Write them a letter. Write them a letter. Tell them Satan's going to persecute them for 10 days. Tell them in the letter that some of them are going to be put to death. That's in your Bible. From Christ.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen?
And tell those people that are going to have to lay down their life. We're really not have to. Everybody had a choice. All these martyrs had a choice. They didn't have to carry the gospel. They didn't have to put themselves in harm's way. Can you say amen? They could got a television broadcast right here in the States. Problem is, there's no television. In the third world, in many areas. satellite can't beam it to them. Somebody's going to have to go. Can you say amen? Jesus said, pray the Lord of the harvest. The mighty Holy Spirit in Christ is the head of the church, that He would send laborers into the field. For the harvest is indeed plenteous, but the laborers are few. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? The laborers are few. The laborers are few. It's amazing. It is absolutely astounding to me that we can have this Bible and this example and veer like we have veered from it. Since we're not taught that depth of commitment, very few Christians are committed. Amen. If there's not something in it for me in the immediate sense, then I have no reason. What about what Jesus did at Calvary? Amen. What weight does that carry in our life? If there was nothing in this life for serving Him and giving to His cause, isn't the cross enough? Amen. Somebody give God praise. Isn't Jesus worthy? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What happened to the Christ who was worth it all for because of what He has done for you and me on the cross? What happened to the burning love that caused us to be so in love with Him? Other people noticed our devotion and noticed our commitment and said, how they love Him. Can you say, man? How they love Him. How their lives are devoted from Him. I remember my stepdad, he was a truck-driving son of a gun. I don't know if you know what that's. You can say son of a gun in church, but I've heard that term. He was a hard truck driver. He had on the truck, you know, rumbled. I rode with him in the tractor one time, my tractor trailer. My wife went all the way to see her daddy. Hitched a ride with my son in his tractor trailer. He'd tailgate you. He'd get right on your bumper and cuss you because you wasn't driving fast enough. I mean, he was one of them hardened guys, you know. And he had a bad finger hand with a, you know what the bad finger is, don't you? I don't have to show it to you. Okay, so no one's offended today. He had a bad finger hand, and it was on a spring, you know. And it was sitting on the dashboard of his truck, so everybody that could see in the window of the truck got the bad finger, because he just gave the whole world the bad finger. I mean, he was that kind of guy, you know. and yet there was a guy in our neighborhood that he looked up to, that he honored, that he respected. We rented a little bitty trailer from him one time when we were having it really, really tough. His name was Mr. Johnson, and he loved God and he served God. Amen. And I remember we'd go over to my mom's to eat on Sunday in that neighborhood. And one Sunday we heard a lawnmower running, and it sounded like over in that direction. And my mother says, that must be Mr. Johnson out cutting his grass. My stepdad never looked up from the plate, never looked up to see what was going on. He said, no. He said, he's not cutting his grass. It's Sunday. What was he saying? Amen. Here is a man that I'm not like him. I may not even want to be like him, but I respect the fact that he has certain standards. I'm not preaching about Sabbath stuff today. I'm just telling you that when Christians are really Christians, people take notice. Can you say amen? When Christians are uncompromised in their values, people take notice. Can you say, it's not what we do in here that people are going to notice. They don't know what we're doing in here. In fact, they don't want to know what we're doing in here. Can you say amen? It's when we go out there that people take notice. It's what we live that people take notice. We are living epistles, and we are read by all men. I'm a living, you're a living, either advertisement of Jesus Christ, or we are a contradiction to Him. Amen. But believe me, people read us. Yeah. Power to be. Say it with me, power to be. Power. Holy Spirit was never a toy to play with. I've been through all the charismatic craziness. And I can tell you right now, we got really crazy. We thought we could justify. Amen. We could justify certain things we were doing because it's the Spirit. It's the Spirit. It's the Spirit. We had mass confusion in the church. But as long as we attributed it to the Spirit, it was okay to have the confusion. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. You cannot attribute that to the Holy Spirit. Amen. 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 I've had people that you couldn't discipline, you couldn't correct, you couldn't instruct, because they said, when God moves me. I was at a meeting one time, and it was a great healing anointing there. I mean, the preacher came out to preach, and all he did was read Isaiah 53, and you could feel the anointing come. And as a matter of fact, I took my son, I forget what he was healed of that night, amen, but I had him stand up, and he said, just somebody near, pray for somebody you see standing. The evangelist with all the power didn't lay hands on anyone that night. They're just anointing just come in that place. Flooded that, but migraines. He had migraines. He would come to the bus stop. He'd get off the bus, and kids would come and tell me, he said, your son's laying down crying at the bus stop. And I would go out and scoop him up, bring him in, would put cold rags on his head, give him some aspirin, and pray for him. And until that migraine, it was just absolutely eating him up. And I remember going to that meeting, and we were in that meeting that night, and the minister came out, and he said, I'm going to read a verse of Scripture. And he read Isaiah 53. Amen. As he was reading Isaiah 53 about the suffering servant. Amen. Surely he's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. With his stripes we're healed. A healing anointing just came down in that room. And he said, just stand up if you have a need. I grabbed my son's hand. We both stood up. Amen. And a little gray-haired lady, amen, came over to us. He said, now somebody that believes that God will heal these people, reach over and touch them. Amen. Now that's taking all the focuses off the evangelist. With the gifts, and all the focus is on God. And a little gray-haired lady, amen, come down through the seats, amen, and looked at me, which one of you need it? And I said, him, you know. And she put her hand on him and began to pray, and God healed him of migraines that night. He's never had a headache since like that. Amen. God did it 100%. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. But the next night, amen. He'd talked for 3 days, and then the next night said, I'm going to pray for people. I want to build your faith first. I don't want you to just come. I want you to see, people need to go to church, not just get in line. Can you say, man, people need to honor God, not just get in line. Can you say, man, there's more to receiving from God than just getting in line. So he's trying to teach people, you need your faith built up. Come and get your faith built up. Well, the third night he was going to lay hands on people, and this one lady came up, and he went to pray for her, and she had a conniption fit. And I understand the anointing. I've had those fits. And he told her, ma'am, just calm down and listen and come into agreement with me. He wanted her to agree with him in faith, and all she wanted to do is shout. I mean, I've seen people fall out under the power of God and get up with the same problem they had before they fell out. What was accomplished? God wants to do more than just Amen. Give you a liver shiver on Sunday morning. Amen. And when he said that, a man beside me that I had known for years, went to church with when I first got saved, he said, he's quenching the spirit. I'm out of here. And he walked out the door. And I thought, dear Lord in heaven, my son was healed last night. God is in this place. He's trying to instruct people that you need to come into faith agreement, not just have a hissy alone.
Yes, amen.
Get healed and you'll have something to shout about.
Amen.
But don't shout and not get healed.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
So that's why you go by many Pentecostal churches. Sunday school is a joke in me. Our Sunday school was a joke for years. A joke in the sense of only about 6 people came to study the Bible. But a bunch of folks come for what was going to happen when I got through preaching. And I was so naive, I thought they came to hear me preach. Or because they loved the Word. No, they wanted me to hurry up and quit preaching so that I could prophesy to them or lay hands upon them. There's a time and place for personal words from the Lord. There's a time and place for the laying on of hands. But there's nothing that can replace the Word of God
Amen.
In your life. The Bible said, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may what?
Grow
thereby. Everybody say grow.
Grow.
Spiritual growth. Spiritual maturation. Going on to perfection. Can you say amen? Grow. There's a lot of people that grew old, but they never grew up spiritually. Some people could sing like angels, preach like somebody from another world, but buddy, you better watch out. They were so sensitive. Amen. They would not only get hurt at you, they'd get even. Can you say amen? They want to nail your hide. That's immaturity. Complete spiritual immaturity. Because people didn't grow. They didn't grow, and you can't grow until you have a healthy appreciation for the place for God's Word in your heart and your life. Amen. Amen. I know how you can get in tangents. I understand what draws people. I know people that have lost their mind and been committed to mental institutions that never missed an anointed evangelistic meeting, that became absolutely obsessed with an evangelist and his anointing and didn't know the peace of Christ in their heart or their mind. How can that be, to be exposed to all that anointing? We got the idea that the anointing is the only thing that's going, because it breaks the yoke. Listen, folks, it's not just breaking a yoke, it's taking a yoke.
Amen.
You didn't hear me. God don't want just a yoke broken. He wants you to take a yoke. Take, you that labor and are heavy laden, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in spirit, and you shall find rest for your soul. You won't shout on Sunday and be tormented by the devil on Monday if you take his yoke upon you. Even if an unclean spirit's cast out of somebody through the anointing, what happens? What happens? What did Jesus say about that mighty anointing exposure, and what happened? What does Jesus teach about that? He said, if an unclean spirit go out of a man, he comes back. He's looking to re-enter. He could not stay because of the anointing and the authority of Jesus' name. But he does come back. Can you say amen? Jesus said, be sure he's coming back. And if he finds it swept and garnished, you know what that means? That's like they're coming in and they take bleach and pour all over all that place. You know what I'm saying? Amen. We talked about buying the theater, the X-rated theater on the corner. We talked about what if we bought that as a coffee house ministry or some annex ministry of the Holy Church of God. If we bought that theater, what we would have to do. Can you say amen? Well, first thing, we'd go in there and saturate it with prayer and plead the blood of Jesus. We'd take anointing oil and put over all the thresholds. And then we'd get the bleach out. Seriously, we'd get the bleach out. I wouldn't want to sit in there. I wouldn't want to stand in there. I'd want to bleach that sucker and paint that sucker and put disinfectant spray all over that sucker and get all the devils out and the germs with him. When the unclean spirit comes back, where he lived has been bleached and purified. But it's empty. Jesus isn't Lord of that life. And if Jesus isn't Lord of that life, he has access to that life. Can you say, man, we can't serve two masters. You can only have one. You can't have a blend. Either Jesus is Lord or he's not Savior. Amen. Thank you for the hearty amen. Amen. You cannot receive him as your Savior.
Amen.
And then start thinking about whether you will or will not allow his Lordship.
Yeah.
Salvation does not come that way biblically. Churches will lower the standard, amen, to make you feel good and get you in the pew to fulfill their purpose of building their church. But God will not lower the standard because he wants you in heaven when you die. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Can you say amen? I listened to the answer man on the radio coming in, a Bible answer man, and a lady called in talking about somebody didn't want to hear about God, didn't want to live for God, and when someone tried to talk to them about God, they got incensed and got angry about that, but they were saved so many years ago. Amen. And he was trying to tell them, well, salvation is not of works. And he finally, amen, realized he painted himself into a corner, because if that be the case, then why not just, you know what I mean? You gotta stop somewhere and let the Bible begin to speak. Can you say amen? He said, well, maybe this person has never really gotten saved. Maybe this person never met Jesus, but I can't say that for sure because I don't keep the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, the one that does keep the Lamb's Book of Life has something to say about that. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Everything shall become new. We know that we passed from death to life because we love the brethren. Let no man deceive you, neither the fornicator, the idolater, the effeminate, or the abuser of himself of mankind hath any part in the kingdom of God. God has addressed this issue. Salvation is life changing. It's not just a free ticket to heaven.
Amen.
Neither is it sinless perfection. But there's a new bent in you when you get saved. And it's a bent toward righteousness and not sinfulness. And you get a new master when you get saved. Jesus. And not the devil. Did I quote anything that wasn't in the Bible? Is this in your Bible? Amen. Let no man deceive you. Amen. Does it mean a Christian can't commit fornication? No, it doesn't. It talks about a fornicator. This is my lifestyle. This is my unconvicted lifestyle, and I'm not about to change it for anybody. God says, don't fool yourself. You're not going to heaven. Can you say amen? 1 John is the litmus test for salvation. And it said, he that committeth sin, which means to, say with me, live habitually. Now, if it was just any sin, nobody's going to heaven. Because that same book balances that by saying, if we say we have no sin as Christians, we what? We lie and do not the truth. But if we confess our sin, that's the difference. That's the difference. Christians are convicted. Christians feel that prick in the heart. Can you say amen? The conscience isn't seared. Amen. The devil isn't boss. He tempts. Sometimes we falter, but we repent and we go on because the change has come. Amen. I couldn't go out and live a life. I couldn't leave my wife and run off with some 30-year-old. Amen. My wife said, you bet you couldn't. You couldn't. It's not because of what Pamela would do to me. It's not even because of what God would do to me. Number one, I don't want to, because I love my wife and I'm happy with her. Amen? But even if I wanted to, amen? If there's no way I could go out there and do that and just say, no big deal. No big deal. No big deal. Just doing what everybody else is doing. We had an amiable divorce. We just decided we don't want to do this anymore. I like her. She likes him. Let's go do that for a while. I'm a Christian.
Oh, yes.
I'm a Christian. Yes. I'm a Christian. Yes. I've got power to be, not just power to do. We got a Christian culture out there that don't care what people are as long as they're anointed to meet our needs. They don't care if they're following Christ or not, an example. All we care about is the promise they're going to give us or the gift that's going to be bestowed upon us through their anointing. Oh, by the way, God wants to do a lot more than just heal you. That's why Naaman had to dip 7 times in Jordan to get his healing. And you know what he said? He said, but I thought that your master would come out, call upon his God, and wave his hand over my head. Does that sound familiar? Amen. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? This attitude of pride within me, I don't even have to deal with that. Because somebody's going to take care of my need. I don't have to deal with any issue of my heart. Isn't that incredible? Isn't it incredible that we don't have to deal with issues of our heart anymore as long as somebody's anointed to meet our need? Amen. That we don't have to deal with the issues of our heart. We're just like him. I thought this is how it works. Well, we almost proclaim that's how it works today. We preach that's how it works. It's God's man of faith and power that we need. No, what we need is Jesus to be the Lord of our life.
Amen.
The man of faith and power. Thank you, Ruth. God, people not bowing to Jesus. There's a lot of people came to get their needs met, and Jesus in his grace met those needs.
Amen.
One time, 10 lepers came. And Jesus, being the Jesus that he is, was moved with compassion. He healed all 10 of them. He said, go show yourself to the priest that you're healed. And as they went, they were all made whole. Every one of them. And only one came back. To do what? To give thanks. And thanks in the Scripture is different than just saying thank you. Thanks in the Scripture, the giving of thanks involved the life being yielded. It involved, amen, the bowing down. This man came back and worshiped him. And he said, you know something? They just got healed. This guy here got made whole. His spirit was changed. His life was changed. He got something more than just the physical blessing of my presence. but the spiritual eternal stuff. They're going to die in spite of the fact that they got healed and they're going somewhere forever. Honey, you're not truly healed till you're healed within.
Amen.
God wants to not only heal us within, He wants to work within our life. Listen carefully. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let's cast off the works of darkness and let's put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, chambering and wantonness, strife and envying. What Romans 13, 11 through 13 is addressing is how to be stripped of the artificial stuff in our Christian lives that we experience the power and victory of truly following Jesus. It's about becoming authentic Christians that the world can look at and say, you know, they're not perfect, but that person is real. That person is genuine. It's my stepdad saying, that is not Mr. Johnson. And you know something? We looked out there and it was a house next to his house. Mr. Johnson was in church, thank you. Mr. Johnson was honoring his God, thank you. Mr. Johnson was keeping his faith, thank you. And my stepdad was watching. And Mr. Johnson's life had convinced him, I don't have to look up from my plate. I can tell you right now, that is not Mr. Johnson. Hello? Keeping the faith is more important than anything you can do for Jesus Christ. We got people with anointings and we got people, frankly, with just personalities that are magnetic. We got people that are gifted speakers. Paul said, my speech is contemptible. Amen. If you heard me preach, you would probably fall asleep. Well, he didn't say that. He just said, I verbal. You know, Moses had a speech impediment. He had a problem speaking. So he said, you picked the wrong man to go talk to the world ruler. And you know what God said? Who made a man's mouth? In other words, I can speak through you. But he didn't get it. It didn't suffice. He said, okay, I'll give you Aaron to do the talking. You tell him what to say, he will bring the eloquent part of it. But you're the leader. Amen? I'm astounded today at what has happened. We've stopped becoming more like Jesus. Church used to be a safe place, I thought. I thought church was a safe place. The world is where they get you. Church is safe. That's where you're among brothers and sisters. Nobody's going to backstab you in church. Did you hear the giggles in here? Honey, you have to watch your back. Immature Christians can be manipulated by the devil. Remember Jesus saying, I must be given into the hands of men? He's trying to tell them, when you see me on that cross, don't think this is defeat. Don't think Caesar has won. Don't think the devil has won. Don't be filled with fear and discouraged. When you see me on that cross, this is in the will of God. The Son of Man must be delivered up into the hands of men. Peter immediately. What's he do? Be it far from thee, Lord. I looked up that phrase in the Greek, and you know what it says? It says, think of yourself. Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't think of himself? Amen. Because if he was thinking of himself, he would have never went to that cross for people like us. Because, folks, if we were there, don't be so hard on those people that when they saw him looking helpless and defeated, that they scattered and denied they knew him. Amen. Listen to me. Don't be hard on Thomas. Amen, that had a problem. Thomas went on. Doubting Thomas went on. Amen, to India. And the gospel in India is attributed to the ministry of Doubting Thomas. And facetious Peter. Don't think of him as the man denying him, but the man that followed him to the death, that went up, got up and went on. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Glory to the Lamb of God. Amen. But they all fell back. Jesus wasn't thinking of himself. I love the song that said when he was on the cross, we were on his mind. Because we're not becoming more like him, we're acting more like them. And our values begin to match. The reason so many of them can come to church unconvicted of their sin is because our values match perfectly. Amen? They wouldn't even be in church if they were not promised gold and silver. Let me tell you something prophetically. Take it, leave it. Isn't going to make a ripple in the water, but I feel the anointing to tell you this. Something bad and something good. Which one you want first? Doesn't make any difference. It's going to work out in the end. Here's the bad news. America has bowed to the God of materialism. That is undeniable. That is absolutely true. You can see it in the ministry leadership. You can see it in the Church of Jesus Christ. You can see it in the culture. In God We Trust is not what we're living by right now in America. Amen? It's not what we're living by. It's not what we're living by. And you know what the Lord is doing in His love for this great nation and His church? He's letting it shake. He's letting the false God shake. The God that cannot fulfill, shake. The God that cannot keep us, shake. He's letting it shake. Amen. The dollar's shaking on the world economy. God wants America simply to come back and trust Him again. That's all He's trying to do is get our attention. He could let us go and let this nation crumble, but I don't believe He wants it to crumble. I believe He wants to sustain it. God loves America. I believe that with all of my heart. Amen. But you can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and mammon. Jesus says you can't. I don't care what preacher says you can. Christ said you can't serve God and mammon. Can you say amen? It's the only time money is given a personality. It's the only time money is given a title. It's the only time money is given a name. And Jesus called it mammon. And mammon is a word not just for money, but what money can do. Can you say amen? It's the self-indulgence. Beware lest your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, that day come upon you as a thief, that it catch you sleeping. That's why the Bible said, awake from your sleep. Our salvation is nearer than when we began on this journey. That's why we need a spiritual awakening in America. You cannot serve two masters, for you will love one and hate the other, or hate one and love the other. Lay up your treasure in heaven, where it can't be shaken, where the thief can't steal it, the moth can't corrupt it, and the rust won't harm it. For where a man's treasure is, there will his heart be also. How many people are being called to deny themselves and take up their cross? Not just come get blessed and get rich, but deny yourself. Be rich in faith, rich in Him. What happened to the true riches? Jesus said, if I can't trust you with the mammon of the world, how can I trust you with the true riches? In other words, how you handle your money, how you value the values in your life, if they match the world, how can I trust you with kingdom stuff? How can I trust you to preach a gospel that's pure and unsullied with no ulterior motive but to see people in heaven? How can I trust you not to just try to cut parts of the gospel out to get people in church to build your own empire, to build your own wealth? How can I trust you if your values match that of the world? How can I trust you with true riches if you don't even know what true riches are and don't model them in your own life? How can I trust that when someone comes to church to hear about a gospel that can save them, that you won't be so absolutely focused on raising money in the church that they can't even hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? How can I trust you with true riches? How can I trust you to use your faith to preach the gospel and believe me to meet the needs and not get it so messed up that the world judges the church and the preaching ministry as just people out for greedy gain? How can I trust you to live a life that represents the kingdom and not a life that represents self-indulgence? How can I trust you to go out in the job place and not meld until they can't tell you from anybody else? How can I trust you not to try to get somebody in the neck that bothered you to demonstrate a different kingdom and a different Lord? How can I trust you with the true riches? You can't handle this. That's why Naaman had to go to Jordan and deal with something in his character, not just get healed. Yeah. Yeah. It's easier to have hands laid on you than it is to bow and clean up before God.
That's right.
And that's why Naaman said, hey, wait a minute, I didn't come down here to get rid of pride. I didn't come down here to deal with nothing in my spirit. I came down here. See, but you're not dealing with a man-made God that you pay money to and get stuff from. Can you say, man, you're dealing with a God that cares about your eternal condition. You're dealing with a God that cares about where you're going to live forever. Can you say, man? He said, this proud man's going to have to get rid of that pride. It's going to kill him. It's going to consume him. It's going to be worse than the leprosy on his skin. Can you say, man? He said, my master said to go dip in Jordan 7 times and you'll come up clean on that last time. Amen. He said, but I thought he would come out and wave his hand over my head and call upon his God. Can you say, amen? Everybody said healing line. Say it louder. Healing line. That's it. You get anointed. You take care of my need. I go my merry way. Don't talk to me about an altar. Don't talk to me about forgiveness. Don't talk to me about my pride. Don't talk about my avarice. Don't talk to me about self-denial and taking up my cross. Just give me what I need so I can go my merry way. Amen. A lot of people went their merry way. Amen. But listen to me. This is not about going your merry way. This is about going His way. Can you say amen? The end of all of this is to follow Jesus. I said the end of all of these anointings is so we can follow Christ. And then you can see the pride that he's wanting to get out of him. I mean, go to the river, dip, for heaven's sakes. He said, well, but I thought this. And then his wise counselor that came with him said, listen, man, if he asked you to do some great thing, wouldn't you do it? Oh, yeah. Well, he asked you to do some self-abasing, humble thing. Can't you do that to get rid of this? It's all over you. He said, well, if I've got to do something, so can't I go dip in a Jordan, in a river back where we came from? There's more honorable rivers back there than old muddy Jordan. See, if you're still concerned about going to the honor, some people wouldn't come slumming to come down here to church. It's just not honorable enough. They know the anointing's here and the truth is here. But it don't fit their persona. I had a guy come to our church one time. We were running about 100 and something people then, which we thought was a big crowd in those days. Amen. You remember the Holy Church of God? And he came and he said, I had 3 things that I wanted to achieve. He said, and he heard a tape. Is why he came. Amen. In fact, she was our pianist for years, and he told me this. He don't mind it being told. Amen. For a while, she played piano for us, his wife. But he came here to the church because of the Word of God, because he was challenged in his soul, because he recognized the anointing. Amen. And he came and he said, I had 3 goals before I came here. I wanted number one, to get me a new home in an area, a nice area. Achieve that. He said, I wanted to get me a brand new car that had never been driven. Want me a brand new car. Got that. And he said, I wanted to go, and he named the church in Tampa that he wanted to affiliate with, because right up there with the new home and the nice car was the church to match. Can you say, man? It's called coordinating. Do you realize there are people this morning going to church because it fits their persona? Not because it challenges them spiritually, but because it fits their persona. I was in a full gospel businessman's meeting where a man gave his testimony years ago. And he said, I came to Christ in a full gospel businessman's meeting. I went to church for years and never became convicted. Never came to Jesus in church, but I was there every Sunday. I tithed it. I gave to it. He said, because I owned a building supply in the particular city. And he said the contractors, the big contractors, went to the first church. Come on, why? Because it fits who they are. They live in that neighborhood. They go to that church. Can you say amen? Because that church is the church that gives them the sense that I can go here and maintain credibility and all. He said, so I knew all the big builders, all the big building contractors went to that church. So I chose that church because they went to that church. It's called networking. Can you say amen? Amen. I'm going to affiliate with them. I want to sit on as many boards as I can. I want to make sure that I'm in good standing with that church. Why? Because when they get ready to order a load of lumber, guess where they're going to load? They're not going to go across town to get it. They're going to come to my business and get it. Amen. There's a lot of reasons for sitting in a building called church on Sunday morning, but only one that's acceptable to God. Can you say amen? And that is because you recognize what He has done for you through Christ on the cross, and you appreciate Him and love Him enough that you want to serve Him. Yeah.